Welcome to the Muslim Woman in Finance podcast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Amira.
And tonight we're going to be talking about the FIRE movement that's been so popular with those who are seeking financial independence and or seeking to retire early. So, Amira, would you go ahead and start off with more about this movement, an introduction and how you became interested?
I'll just kind of explain a quick introduction about what FIRE is. So it stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early, and the acronym is FIRE. So it's basically a financial movement defined by frugality, extreme savings, and investment. You see a lot of different variations of this where people will be saving anywhere from, 50 to 70% of their annual income. Aim is to retire early and live off of small withdrawals from those accumulated funds. I think I was really more interested in this initially during our, I would say, debt paydown journey. And it just opened up a lot of doors, I think, and possibilities for us as a family. Not that we don't know where we're going to be career-wise. And so I think it's just because of the options and then the freedom that it gives you, I think it definitely is worth looking into. And then I just found that a lot of the values that some of the individuals pursuing FIRE really aligned with some of Islamic values. So I found that really interesting to be able to tie those two. And Lisa, I know you're not too familiar with the movement, I guess is what it's called, but what have you heard or what are your like current thoughts about it?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of buzz with, the Reddit message boards and blogs like Mr. Money Mustache, with, people who are actually going through it or people who are advising others to jump on board. And like you said, there are many variations. It's not, a one size fits all. And from what I've heard, there's a couple things. The variations include four different methodologies like Fat FIRE, Lean FIRE, Barista FIRE, Coast FIRE. And I think, Lean FIRE is where you're going really, really minimal and becoming really frugal to extreme savings. And it's a very restricted lifestyle. And then, for example, Fat FIRE is living with a more traditional lifestyle, and but the catch is saving more than the average retirement investor. And then the Barista FIRE, for example, is someone who decides to quit their traditional 9 to 5, but then they keep like a part-time employment, for example, working at Starbucks, in order to have a health care plan, because they don't want, paying out of pocket for health insurance to kind of take away from the extreme savings, for example. So, I do some coaching on the side with Muslim sisters, and I know I've worked with about three sisters who have talked to me about retirement. And I haven't introduced the FIRE method to them because those sisters were in places where, for example, they just got a new job and they were learning about retirement and how their fund works and how they open a retirement account and what they should know. Or, for example, another sister was rolling over from one plan to another because she left her place of employment. And in another example, a sister who's in her 40s and has already, who doesn't have student loan debt and who has a child and things of that nature. She wants to know how much she needs by the time she's, for example, 65. So I think, retirement is, it's a big buzzword. It's something that everyone should think about. But this method, is what I've felt is that a lot of, especially the guys, the men who are utilizing this FIRE method, really just don't want to work through traditional 9 to 5, and they're trying to get out of that workplace, like the daily grind, so that they have more time, to do other things they're passionate about. So that's why I think this kind of attracts that millennial crowd, to embrace this movement for financial independence, retire early, because they just don't want to, they don't want to work for 30 to 40 years in a cubicle, punching in and out. They want to enjoy life. So that's kind of my familiarity with it. What are your thoughts?
Definitely hit a couple of pointers on there where it's like bang on. So with all the different variations, there's so many different ways you can approach this, and I think the general, and you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but typically, the general retirement principle as far as savings rate goes is anywhere from 10 to 15%, and that's provided that you're doing that at a young age. And I know many people, especially now, retirement savings isn't always forefront, especially when we're young. And the FIRE movement has definitely hit with the millennials, and I'm not sure, where that comes from exactly, because as a millennial myself, I can definitely say that it attracts me in a way that there's potential in the future for doing something that you're passionate about. And that doesn't mean that you wouldn't be passionate about your career. Like, I love where I'm at in my career right now, and alhamdulillah, it's a very rewarding, fulfilling job. And I don't think I would ever leave my role as a healthcare provider, but I think having that option, it just opens up so much. Like, you don't feel tied down to something. And I don't know what it is about millennials that kind of gives us a little bit of freedom from not having to do something, even though like we completely enjoy it and are being fulfilled by it. So yeah, it's an interesting kind of, and like you said, if you go on Reddit, there's tons of discussion threads on this, and people will quote unquote say down the Reddit hole simply because there is a ton of information on, and it can be overwhelming for individuals who are just starting out, like you said, and or really just trying to grasp the basic concepts of retirement planning. I wouldn't say that like I'm an expert by any means, and I think I'm still in the discovery phases of what that might mean for us. There's a very extreme way of doing this, like you said, the lean FIRE, where they're so bare, with all of their expenses and necessities right now to fulfill that end goal. And that's where the retire early part comes into play. But I really like more the financial independence aspect of it. I think that's something that I would probably like as a family, we're kind of heading towards that more financial independence, which I think is on many people's radar. That means you're consumer debt free, mortgage free potentially, depending on your philosophy on that. And no car payments, no student loans, and you have a healthy savings rate with the plan to retire at a decent age, So yeah, so I think there's a lot to discuss and explore here. We have two articles that we found, one pertaining to women and how FIRE might play a role in women's career in traditional life. And then also we found another article regarding Muslims and how the FIRE lifestyle can apply to them. So, Lisa, do you want to maybe go over the either one?
Sure. Before I do that, you were asking, how did the FIRE movement start? Well, it's based off of a book that was back in 1992, a best-selling book called Your Money or Your Life by Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. And basically, the core of the book was that every expense is compared to the time spent at work in order to earn the purchase. So you're basically trading your working hours for, earning your living. And that was kind of the crux of that book. And so it has, again, evolved because we're not in the 90s anymore. The year is 2021. And again, because millennials are very attracted to this movement, it's because there's a difference in, our parents' generation and what they thought retirement was to them and saving versus what we're seeing. We're kind of slowly starting to see our parents go into retirement. And seeing, did they save enough, or, are they still working in their 60s and 70s because they didn't save enough? So there's that like generational shift and how people are viewing the importance of money, because at the end of the day, who is going to take care of you in your retirement years, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond? Who is going to take care of you? Because the government's plan is not stable and not something to depend on, because we don't know where Social Security will be when we're in our 60s and 70s. As far as the articles, I just wanted to briefly give a couple of things. And Amira, I'll have you name the articles and their authors. But the first one was actually by a Muslimah. I believe her platform is called Simply Muslim Mom, but you can correct me, Amira. And so she actually kind of dived in into the article to discuss what her, again, what we're kind of doing, an overview of what the fire movement is. And then at the end, she kind of concluded by saying she could help by coaching people who are interested. And again, like you had mentioned earlier, she really thought that a lot of like Islamic principles could be utilized with this type of movement as far as saving and being a bit conservative in the spending and trying to get away from the consumerism. And then the second article had it's actually a woman because a lot of the blogs and a lot of the posts in Reddit are by men who have worked in corporate America or who have made really high incomes. And so there was this woman who's a mom who is a breadwinner in her household, and she decided to start a blog about the fire movement for women. And so I think that was a lot more interesting because it's really just nice to hear from other fellow women and what they're going through because we can probably relate more to that. There is a gender pay gap going on nowadays. There is inequality and inequity at the workplace. So it's really nice because she highlights stories of other women who are going through the movement, but she is very, very frugal. I mean, when I was going through the articles on her blog, and again, Amira, I'll have you name those articles. She really goes to extremes when it comes to the meal plans in her home and things of that nature. So what are your thoughts about the articles? And if you could name them as well, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I'll refer to the first one that was written by Farhana, I believe, and you're correct in that she is at simplymuslimmom@gmail.com. And I'm not sure if this is her blog site, but it's Productive and Positive is the blog name. But the article name itself is Fire, A Muslim's Guide to Financial Independence. And she basically outlines some of the statistics in the Western society that we live in that credit card debt and student loans are piling up faster than ever. And we have seen this kind of infringe upon our community, whether we like it or not. And even though we are very, quote unquote, debt averse, unfortunately, many of us get caught up in this for, good reasons, for whether that's education purposes. It's been part of our dunya, unfortunately. And then that the average family is saving less than 10% of their income currently. And then that nearly 40% of Americans would have difficulty paying for a $400 expense. So very, very stark realities in how households manage their finances. And as far as the date of these articles, I believe it's pre-pandemic, but I don't think, if anything, much of this has changed, given, what we've gone through over the last 18 months. But then she then links how the fire movement is imperative for a Muslim because of our values, in that we shouldn't be paying or receiving interest, and that would take care of our student loans and consumer debt. And so by being a part of the fire movement, essentially there are some creative ways that you can still continue to reap the benefits of potentially using credit card products for travel, hacking, things like that, but using them in a responsible way so that you're not on the paying end of interest. And then, there are no car payments. Typically, many people in the fire movement have mortgages paid off. And so that's encouraging that debt-free life, again, aligning with our Muslim values. And then that you also become, you have more of a, there's more of a purpose, there's more of an end goal in mind, that you have this goal so that you have the freedom to be able to do things more, whether that's with your time or your money. And so that encourages charitable giving, volunteering, passion projects, things like that. And so she really kind of touches on those points as far as, how those align with Muslim values. And I really like those tie-ins because it really, really just kind of pulls it all together with what I've been kind of reading and feeling. And I just kind of needed that confirmation because I knew that this was something that is very ideal for a Muslim family. And it allows us to live within our means. You know, it allows us to be more disciplined with our money and be very intentional with our money. And then making sure that every move that we make with our dollars, you know, is very intentional and that it benefits us in the long term. And Lisa, you brought up a good point with our parents' generation, and you know that we're seeing them in retirement age now, and you know, Social Security benefits and things like that are coming into play, and we're questioning whether the amount will be enough, and or have they saved enough for retirement. And you know, talking to family about money is a whole other podcast episode, I'm sure. But you know, a big part of why I really resonate with the FIRE movement is because I think about the next generation. You know, I don't want them to have to struggle with things, whether that's college education or, you know, I want to build up some equity for them to be able to have later on in their adult lives. And so I think a lot of this has to do with thinking in the bigger, longer term. And I think that also too is very much aligned, you know, with your thinking of your legacy. So that's very much aligned with our Islamic values. The second article was by the Chief Mom Officer, and this was written in 2018, called, and the article or the name of the blog post was "Money in Your 30s: Women on Fire." And she did an interview with an individual who was in her 30s and living on a single, like a single income, no kids and things like that. And she went into how she was able to save up to 50% of her income, which I think is kind of more on the drastic end of things, but there are tons and tons of stories. You can find various versions of how people are able to do these. And I think it really just comes down to how, I would say, committed they are to really what their end goals in sight, like when they're planning to retire, what their goals are as far as funding their retirement amounts and things like that. She was quite aggressive in her savings rate, and I think that that's something to aspire to. I don't know that I would ever be that aggressive with my savings rate. I mean, inshallah, one day we will get there, but right now we're still in the learning phases, and so it's something to aspire to. But there's also something to be said about, you know, being able to choose what's right for you and your family, and that's why there's so many different variations of a FI, whether that's Coast or Barista, etc.
Yeah, you know, the three components of the FIRE movement are, like you said before, frugality, extreme savings, and investment. And so with frugality, I think, and like, you know, things like penny pinching, I do think there is a turnoff because a lot of people feel like the association of happiness and frugality. I mean, sometimes when you become too frugal, for example, those of us who have grown up in homes where our parents were very frugal, it kind of zaps away at the happiness. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's so interesting you say that, because so I grew up in a very frugal household, and I vividly remember kind of I despised it, right? So I remember when I got my first job, I did not know what to do with my money because I never had that financial literacy, and because we were always so frugal, I just wanted to buy everything I saw. And so I think growing up in a frugal household, it really does kind of shape the way, you know, your money thoughts and your money story. But at the same time, I think now that I would say we do live frugally, but we live frugally differently. And I think when you have purpose behind your frugality, I don't think it feels deprived. I think it takes like a mindset shift to be able to kind of be kind of give yourself permission to be frugal. Because so if I compare the way that we're frugal now versus the way we were frugal growing up, like the way I was raised, it's vastly different. So growing up, my parents never, well, my dad, you know, he was quite, I wouldn't say against, but he, you know, didn't want to pay for extracurriculars, whether that was sports or things like that. Whereas now I value those things because I know how important it is for children development and socialization and things like that. And same thing with like summer camps and YMCA memberships. That was just never part of growing up because we were frugal that way. But where we save money now is in, you know, maybe things like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of things that maybe I had growing up that we choose to opt out of now. Maybe like amusement park membership passes. We don't do those types of things. Granted, my kids are still young, but there are things that we say no to now that maybe I, you know, growing up we said yes to. So I think it's choosing your frugal and being mindful of what you're saying yes to. Again, we were in public schools growing up, but we've chosen to put our kids in private school. But that also means that we're very mindful of our grocery budget. Like there just are, there's a lot of different things that you can, different avenues and ways that you can save, and which areas of your life you want to focus on. So what your priority is as a family, and choosing to be frugal in the areas that maybe don't matter as much to you as a family, if that makes sense.
Yes, I also think it depends on how much income is coming into the household. Because someone who, for example, a household that has two working parents, with high-paying jobs, six-figure jobs, their frugality, the definition of frugality is going to be different to them versus a single mom who's raising children on her own and who's really depending on her income for herself. For example. So, yeah, I think it varies with households, but that does creep up on me at sometimes, like things that we couldn't afford as a child, memberships, subscriptions, extracurriculars. And now I'm seeing that sometimes when I don't have my children in those activities like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, or soccer, I think about, okay, well, I didn't grow up with that stuff. I turned out okay. And again, it might be a savings measure. But then again, you also think about, well, what about the child development? And how much the children can get out of activities like that, and that it may be worth, saving up and putting that in the budget. But it's kind of like a tug of war. I feel like every few months I'm doing a tug of war on the budget and what's in it and what's out of it, and how can I minimize it, or how can I, if I do have extra income, what can I spend that on that makes sense? So things that like our parents did, for example, and I know like in my household, my dad was not only supporting us, he was supporting multiple people, multiple relatives. So that, that came into the equation. That came in, that affected our budget. I mean, if you can imagine like the way that we live now, where everyone is very nuclear and they're not really supporting extended relatives. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that, how can you add that to your budget? It's interesting how the generations have evolved and moved away from a model like that.
Before we continue, I would just take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors.
Salam, fellow sisters. My name is Rizwana, and I'm an investment advisor with Sharia Portfolio, a halal wealth management company. It's exciting to see so many of you here growing and improving your knowledge of personal finance. At Sharia Portfolio, we help many individuals like yourselves to become prudent investors in a Sharia compliant and ethical manner. I'd love to have a conversation with you to learn about your goals and explore options that suit your needs. So don't hesitate, give me a call at 510-684-5196 or visit shariaportfolio.com to learn more. Remember, you don't need to compromise your values because there is a halal way to invest.
So I wanted to ask you, Lisa, if you haven't thought about, like, if this is the first time maybe you have thought about the FIRE movement and what that might look like for your family. And this kind of brings me back to when you mentioned going back to your budget, you feel like every couple of months you're trying to redo something, tweak something here and there. I feel like that's constant. And I think that that's a good thing. I think if we're constantly looking at where our money is going, we will always have a better handle on things, so that things aren't surprises when when stuff happens. We have a general idea of what we're going to be expecting the next couple of months. So I think that that's a good thing. Although I do the exact same, and I'm always trying to tweak. And one month I'm like, oh no, we're going to put way more over here, and then I change my mind the next day. I'm very impulsive that way. But luckily, it's all virtual money moving, not real. But so I'm just curious, like, if FIRE was something that was on your radar and or something you were thinking to pursue, would you retire early, or would you would you continue to work?
So, you know, my mom worked full time since I was about 2 years old or so. And so she worked at a company for over 30 years and then she ended up retiring and then she fell into a slump. And what I mean is she really missed work. She really liked working. She had great friends she met at the workplace. She learned a lot. She was very savvy with her money because at the office, that's all they talked about. You know, a lot of times that's what they talked about, like the pension, the retirement, social security, the, you know, putting your savings at the credit union. So they talked a lot about this at the office, but you know, not everyone has that type of atmosphere. But my mom was lucky enough too. So she kind of fell into that thing where, oh, I miss work a lot. She still says that. She's been retired for 3 years now. So when I look at that, I feel like I don't know if I'll ever stop working. I may choose a different career path eventually. And if I were to find something that compensated for what I make now, I'd probably definitely go in that direction. But for me, it's really about security. Like I feel secure knowing that I get a paycheck every month. I just feel like, okay, because I feel like I have a lot of choices with it because I do have a spouse that works as well. But I think that might be something that people may not be opting for with the FIRE movement because I've noticed in a lot of the stories that I was reading that a lot of people moved. They ended up moving, or they lived in an RV and homeschooled their kids. Because that gave them a lot of freedom to move from place to place. So there were some things they had to give up, and there's always still that attachment to passive income, whether it was through investments in stocks or, you know, having a blog that generated money or doing some side jobs here and there, depending on where they lived. So I think the main thing for me is, you know, there has to always be income coming in. And at this point, yeah, I need to save long term, but I don't know at this point if I can do it as aggressively. You know, the 70%, one of the key values of FIRE, and you were saying 50 to 70, but I know that a lot of people say, you know, by saving up to 70% of the annual income, that is a good way to retire early and live off the small withdrawals from accumulated funds. I don't know how I'm going to be living 30 years from now, but for me personally, I think, you know, security is just, it's so important. And even for, you know, our fellow Muslim sisters who are not employed outside the household or not generating income, there has to be some type of way to have that, an account that has a balance for safety reasons, you know, just in case anything happens or, you know, things change. You can't really tell what your health will be in 10 years or 20 years, things of that nature. So, I do like the aggressive savings, and I think that's something we can, you know, kind of teach to those in their 20s and 30s, especially their 20s when they just get their first job to kind of implement the fact that, you know, savings is really important. Whether you do it in a retirement plan or through investments, like for example, buying property that you'll rent out, things of that nature, really, really just teaching young people about savings. Because I think when you get your first job, everyone just wants to spend as a reward for all the years spent in school, getting a degree. So, like buying a really nice car or wearing nice clothes, getting a nice purse, things of that nature. But sometimes we don't get to see, you know, the long term. And I really wish I had someone in my 20s to kind of show me around because I really felt like I didn't have that. And I hope for anyone that's listening who's in their 20s and 30s, that's something that they really keep at the top of their list is the savings, saving for an emergency or just savings just because. You know, I want to save just because. Maybe it could be because I want to go to Hajj in 7 years, or I want to buy a property for myself in 5 years. It's always good to have that savings because once the cash or income is gone, I mean, you can really never get it back. You may have to work twice as hard to get that income back.
There's definitely a sense of security. I 100% agree with you with having that regular paycheck coming in. And I would urge any of our listeners who are in their 20s and 30s to, if you haven't already, to find just any retirement calculator. There's usually some nice graphs. You can put in some numbers and you can see at an age, let's say of 20 versus if I started at 30 and this is how much I put in, the vast difference in the amount that you can potentially save. And I'm with you there, Lisa. I just entered into my 30s a couple years ago, alhamdulillah, but I feel like I should have started earlier. And we're still getting to where we want to be, but I guess it's never too late to start. But it's we could have always started earlier, and I think that we won't ever get back. But yeah, there's a big opportunity there for those that are in their 20s. Yeah, and there was something else that I was going to mention regarding the sense of security. And there's with FIRE specifically, the movement. I was also finding that with individuals that kind of pursued FIRE when they were going to that extreme extent to retire early, only to retire and find out that they're not happy and or they finished their end goal, and then all of a sudden it's like, now what? They you said with your mom, Lisa, that she, most of her socialization was at work, and I get that aspect. I think during this whole COVID pandemic, most of my socialization was with my workplace, and if I didn't have that, it would be so drastically different. And I think it's a very important aspect that we may not consider all the time. So you definitely have to really think about, some individuals find hobbies or like woodworking, things like that on the side. But if you truly, truly don't know what you're going to be doing after retirement, it may not be the best idea to just fully retire and not have something to do on the side. And I think that's where like the barista FIRE comes into play, where individuals will seek out part-time employment for benefits just to maintain some of that social engagement and just interaction with others. And the other thing too is like you said, their sacrifices in that they would move to different areas or live out of an RV just to save that cost of living. Because a lot of it is trying to cut costs in places that typically are the biggest eaters of your budget. So housing, transportation, childcare for some people, which includes myself. And so for us, and for individuals living in high cost of living areas, moving for us isn't really an option. I mean, it could be if we really had to, but because of our current jobs, it's just not something that we would be able to do right now and or would want to do. And so because we live in a high cost of living where average home prices are $550,000 Canadian dollars, wouldn't pick up and leave to go somewhere just to save X amount of dollars in our housing budget. So, there's definitely gives and takes for each area. And it's like I said, it's very variable, but every family decides what will work for them.
I had gone to a retirement seminar at my workplace, and I remember there was a bunch of us who went as a group, and we're all like similar ages. And all the supervisors who were at the same seminar were like, "What are you guys doing here? You guys are so young." And they were shocked that we were really interested in attending this retirement seminar. And the person who led the seminar, he was basically a retirement planner, and it seemed like the way he was talking, he dealt with people who had a lot of money, mostly other men. He was a man himself, and one of the key takeaways he said was, make sure your mortgage is paid off before you retire, because that is a really big expense, a living expense. And another key point he made was just really being organized. You need to have all your numbers in place. You need to know what's going on. And that might be, coming back to the numbers either every month or every year, because to know what is going on. And so for your 20s and 30s, it's really important to, once you have employment, to make sure that you are contributing at least 5% or more to your retirement plan, and trying to get that match from your employer, or if you're self-employed, finding an investment retirement account that's right for your situation. And then just, review your credit report annually and see who do you owe and how's your credit score, because that can affect, getting a loan for a home, for example. In your 40s, really just rebalancing your retirement account, meaning, you know, evaluate it and you can change the numbers around depending on what's already in there and what's going on at the time. Always try to seek out professionals, whether it's in taxes or an estate plan or a retirement plan. Try to talk to professionals who have dealt with people in your situation before. And in your 50s, really paying down those debts and trying to get rid of that mortgage payment, trying to get rid of that housing payment. That's going to be really tough for people who rent and who don't have a home, you know, in their 50s and 60s and they want to retire, because they're always going to have that payment that they're going to have to make. You can do catch-up contributions to your retirement plan in your 50s. So that's something that's really great if you have an employer-provided retirement plan. And then that's the time where you can start reviewing your Social Security benefits. Usually you get a statement annually, but that's where you kind of get an estimate about what age that I want to retire, what will I be getting through Social Security, and just, you know, protecting the wealth that you have. In your 60s and beyond, that's where you're going to be starting to really crunch those numbers and make sure that you can survive month to month with the money that's coming in, whether it's from retirement pensions, Social Security benefits, dividends from your stock portfolio, or if you get a part-time job, and just, you know, enjoy life at that time. You know, after you know what you're getting, just enjoy yourself. You know, if you had plans like travel, things of that nature, your children may not be living with you anymore. So that can actually bring the cost down as far as utilities. And if you want to downsize at that point. But I really think this whole idea of organization and always coming back to doing an audit, a personal audit of what you have at the time, is really important.
Yeah, those are some very great actionable tips. So I'm hoping that, you know, our listeners hearing these things it'll at least perk some interest if you haven't already thought about this. And I think what's so nice about, we kind of joke that, you know, FIRE is a buzzword. It really is. It's kind of its own movement. There's like a documentary on Netflix. There's a whole bunch of stuff about it. But it at least kind of opens some ideas and just kind of gives you the opportunity to explore, and even really just getting organized, because you don't really know what to do if you don't know what you have. And like you said, getting yourself organized, knowing what your matches are, knowing, you know, what stage in your life and where do I go from here? What's expected of me, and taking that forward. So any final thoughts, Lisa?
Yeah, inshallah, we can maybe circle back to this topic in the future, but I'm really glad we covered the FIRE movement for those who are interested.
So with that, we'll close our episode. And until next time, we'll see you all later. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
We want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our show. Feel free to reach out to us at muslimwomenandfinance@gmail.com with any thoughts, comments, feedback, or questions. We would love to hear from you. And you can also find us on Instagram at hashed.fine, F-I-N, and at Amira E, and join the Facebook group Muslim Women and Finance. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a rating and review. Thank you.